hindered is people around you. They need to see the power of the name of Jesus. They need to see the power of being a Christian. Can you say amen? So fill in your registration forms. It's going to be an awesome weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Picking up a bulletin. And Ted and Kenny provide these bulletins every week, and they put a lot of work in them. Pick one up, pick several up, and give them away. They're like a mini magazine, a mini ministry that you can use as a tool to minister to people that you know. I take them to the retirement centers. They love it to get these, and they read them, and there's a word of encouragement. There's prophetic words in here that some of our people in our retirement center don't have backgrounds like that speak words and teach people the word of God and teach people how to be victorious. And I'm telling you, in the retirement centers that I'm going and I'm teaching the word of the Lord, and I'm watching the lights come on in the people. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how mature you are. It doesn't matter if you're a senior citizen or you're in the twilight of your years of life. The Lord's word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose it set out. Can you say amen? Well, today I'm going to minister on let go of your past. Are you ready to let go of your past? And I'm going to come at it a different angle. We're always thinking about, it'll be part of that. But we're always thinking about, what I used to do and what I did last week and all this. But I want to go deeper than that. I want to go to the root of what causes our past to rise up and the enemy use it to remind us of our past. I want to go to where the root is. I don't know about you, but I want to go to the root of the situation. You know, I'm tired of picking off the bad fruit, and it still produces bad fruit, when I need to go to the root and take care of the root that's producing the bad fruit. Can you say amen? You know, I loved what you were talking about today, Brother Raymond. You know, each week that you've given a word, it has been such a powerful demonstration and illustration. And I believe it goes along with what I'm going to talk about today. You know, we have been set free. Can you say, I am free? And you know what? The Lord says, who the Son has set free is free indeed. But we still act like we're bound up. We still act like we're depressed and oppressed. And I know those are symptoms of a root. But see, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Lord, renew the joy of your salvation in my life. That I am more than a conqueror. I'm overcoming every obstacle that comes my way. And you know, I've been on this kick, and I wrote something in the bulletin. I'm on this kick. When I pray, I want to see the evidence of my prayers being answered now. You know what? We cop out by saying, you know what? I'm praying for this. I'm praying for your healing. And you know, I hope it happens. Well, that's not faith. That's wondering if your prayers are even powerful. I'm believing that your prayers and my prayers and our prayers are revealing the evidence of God answering our prayers. Can you say amen? Every single person in this room, I've seen evidence of God's prayers being answered. Can you say amen? So we're gonna turn to Romans 8, and we're gonna go there, but I'm gonna lay a foundation. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that every single person in this room is going to receive a revelation, greater revelation of your word, that each and every one of us, even listening to the CD, is going to have that aha, wow. I never thought about that, but it makes sense because of the Holy Spirit is revealing his word. Today, Lord, I continue to stay out of the way so that your spirit will have his way. Holy Spirit, we want you to teach us your word. We prayed that the Holy Spirit in our Wednesday night class would teach us about who he is, and he did that on Wednesday night. When we ask, we shall receive. So right now, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to reveal and teach us your word. Teach us how to be victorious. Teach us how to let go of our past. Teach us and how to live into the future of the good future that you, Lord, have for us. Today, I thank you that we have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to each and every one of us. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the mercy seat and sprinkling your blood upon the mercy seat, that we can have mercy, that we can have a right standing with the Father, and that our Heavenly Father hears every single one of our prayers because of the blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat. So today, Lord, I thank you for a great revelation of your word today, that we will put it into practice. We will see the evidence before we leave this place today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can you say amen? Well, we're going to stay at Romans, but I want to lay a foundation. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. You know, one of the things, you know, we hear a lot, let's bring the Ten Commandments back into the school. I don't want the Ten Commandments back into the school. And you go, oh, really? And you're going to understand why when I get into this. Because what happens is the law was made for a season. And what happens is people got caught up in the law, and it was for a purpose. But Jesus came to fulfill the law, and a lot of people are still going around that post. I want the Ten Commandments back in the school. I want the Ten Commandments back in the school. I want the Ten Commandments. Well, what are the Ten Commandments? Well, I don't know, but they should be back into the school. But I'm gonna show you something. Are you ready to go on a journey with me today? I'm not being blasphemous. You know, we've got to know that now we have stepped into grace. We are living in grace. And you know what? And I don't even want to say, you know, a lot of people say, when you live in grace, it doesn't give you a license to sin. That's not what grace is. Grace empowers us to overcome sin. Can you say amen? Well, I'm going to show you. Can we go on this journey? Does anybody want to live in peace? Does anybody want to live in ease where it's not hard having a relationship with Jesus? It's not hard revealing his purpose and his destiny with you. Are you ready to say, Lord, I want to enjoy my life because you came and gave me life so that I may enjoy it to the fullest? Does anybody want to live in that ease? I want the ease, because the anointed one and the anointing removes the burden and destroys the yoke, and it causes us to live in victory, but ease. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit's going to show us. In Exodus, just write this down, in 20 it says, here's the beginning of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, and you shall not bow down to it. That's 1 and 2. Those are the Ten Commandments. That's Exodus 20, verse 3. Now you write this down. In Exodus 24, 3, the Lord spoke to Moses, and Moses, you know, wrote down the Ten Commandments, and then he told the people what God had said about the laws and the commandments. It says, when Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like the right words, but from their heart they were saying, we can do this. You know, we can do this. And our power and our might, it sounds good. You know, we say a lot of things that sound good. You know, I got a message that Pastor Tony Certain was in the hospital, and they thought he had a stroke or a seizure. And I talked to Ronnie, and you know, and the prayer requests go out. Have you ever noticed sometimes prayer requests can be really depressing or scary? Oh, okay, we're going to pray for him because it might be this and it might be that. Oh, and if it's this and that, then this could happen and then that could happen. And you know what that does? It messes up with my faith. Going, I'm thinking the worst. Oh, I hope God moves. I hope God moves. I hope he lives. When the Lord spoke to me, he says, you know what? Right then, when you get the prayer request, you speak, you pray to the situation that right now it is going to change right now. And the Lord spoke to me when Ronnie had taken Pastor Tony to the doctor. The minute Ronnie prayed for him, the Lord said he heard his prayers immediately. It didn't take, the Lord didn't wait on my prayers. The Lord didn't wait on our corporate prayers. It happened the minute that Pastor Ronnie prayed for him. And when I talked to Pastor Ronnie yesterday, I said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that the minute you prayed, God heard your prayers and it was effective. See, I don't have to wait a week for somebody else to pray for my situation or get a bunch of people to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. I want the now faith. I want to see the now results. I want to see the now evidence that, you know, when something comes at me, if there's nobody else that can pray for me or get in agreement with me, I can go to the Lord. You know what? Can we just get radical today? Can we get radical? Sometimes we said, okay, let's all come in agreement for a breakthrough. You know what we need to get in agreement with? With the word of the Lord. And if nobody else gets in agreement, get in agreement with the word of the Lord and see the evidence. See, sometimes we get it backwards. I need you to come in agreement with me for my situation. No, I'm going to get in the agreement with the word of the Lord. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm getting in agreement with the Lord. Says, by his stripes, I have been made whole. I'm going to get in agreement with God's word. He desires above all that I shall prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. I'm going to get in agreement with his word, and I'm expecting to see the evidence of God's word going to work because I'm in agreement with his word. Can anybody say amen? See, sometimes we put too much faith in people and not enough faith in God's word. Yesterday, there were just a few of us that went to the food bank, but I told Jeffrey, I said, we're going on an assignment. We're going expecting divine appointments. We may not have seen anything in our natural eyes, but we went expecting that we were on an assignment of the Lord. We were going to do it with a joy, and I watched my son just have a good time loading those bags up. He was pushing, he was so fast, he was getting ahead of people. But he enjoyed it. He had purpose of doing something for somebody else. Can you say amen? So they said, they responded with one voice. They were in one accord. They were all in agreement. You know, you could get an agreement with a bunch of people, and they might be saying the wrong thing. And so you're getting an agreement with something that sounds good, but may not have the right purpose to it. They responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said we will do. Really? Okay, are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? Are you with me? Just write this down. And in Exodus 32, what happened before Moses came down from the mountain? They formed a calf out of gold. The first commandment, what was the first thing they did? They broke the first commandment, and then they broke the second commandment, but they formed this calf out of gold, and they bowed down, and they worshiped it. You know why? Because it was brought to their attention not to do. Have you ever been there? Don't do that. What do you want to do? Do it. When I go on a diet, I say, I'm not going to eat any of this stuff. And I think about it. I'm not going to eat this. And what do? I eat it because I'm drawn cheesecake. I'm drawn to whatever's pointed out to me not to do. We go towards that. It was pointed out to them. Do not form any other idols. Do not bow down. And what was the first thing they did? They did what they weren't supposed to do. They broke the first commandment and the second commandment. Are you with me this morning? So when we're talking about putting the law back into school, we want Jesus to be in the school. How does Jesus get back in our school? Jesus is already in our schools because our children have Jesus in them. And there's teachers that have Jesus in them, like Teacher Sandy Thomas. Maybe she'll hurt me if I said that. But you know what? You've got teachers that have Jesus in them. You have students that have Jesus in them. You have school workers that have Jesus in them. Jesus is in the schools. But what are we doing with Jesus in the schools? Lord, I thank you that Jesus is in the school because my son goes to that school, so Jesus is in the school. Now we need to help people release Jesus in the school. I don't have to have a big thing about, okay, everybody, let's pray together. Let's go down in the parking lot and pray. No, I could say, Jesus, I'm taking you into work with me. Jesus, I'm taking you into school with me. Jesus, I'm taking you on the road with me. Jesus, you have your way. Jesus, you're in the schools. Thank you, Lord. But see, we got caught up in going around that pole. This is what my grandmother did. This is what my great-grandmother did. And you know, if it worked for her, then it works for us. Well, it probably didn't really work for them. But I'm caught up of going around that pole. God is breaking us out of the pole, the boxes. He has already been out of the box when Jesus died on the cross. It's already happened. So why are we living in the past? Why are we living in the things of the past when he wants us to move on? Can you say amen? So in this, it says, the Israelites made a gold calf and bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods. You know, I never got that until this time. Why did they say plural when there was only one calf? What they were trying to do is they were trying to combine God, who brought them out of Egypt, with the calf so that the people could have something to see. And they're presenting the people, these are your gods. No, they're not my gods. He's my God. Jesus is my God. I worship him. Hallelujah. He says, and these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Now we're going to go into Romans 8. So we talked about the law. Remember the law? So I'm not real big on bringing the Ten Commandments back into school. I'm big about Jesus being revealed in our schools. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is one of my favorite scriptures. When people are out there condemning other people, and Christians especially, when you hear condemnation on television, who is it mostly talking? Christians. Because they feel like they gotta, you know what, we gotta stand up for the word of God. We've gotta make sure we're doing it right. We don't want God to be embarrassed. God is a big God. God is able to fight his own battle. God's word can stand on its own. I wanna get in agreement with God's word and not a bunch of voices that are out there saying all this stuff. Can you say amen? Therefore, now, hallelujah. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So now that I'm in Jesus, I have been freed from the law. Can you say amen? Does it mean I'm going to start committing adultery or building idols and stuff? That's not what it's saying. He's saying, I fulfilled the law so that you could receive grace and live by the Spirit of the law. Can you say amen? So we're going to go on. Hallelujah. It says, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by its sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful men in order that the righteous, who's righteous in here? Come on. Everybody that is a believer, you need to raise your hand because you need to understand that you are the righteousness of God. If you don't understand that you're righteous, you know what? You're going to go around that pole. You're going to be hoping and a wishing and a praying and for God to do have a breakthrough in your life. But if you know who you are, because Jesus' blood has caused you and me to become righteous. We are the righteousness of God through Jesus. So you know what? I say this a lot. It is unacceptable for you to be poor. It is unacceptable for your family to be a mess. It's unacceptable for your for you to be sick and all those stuff, because you are the righteousness of God. You and I are in a right standing with God, and God is doing a work in us, and God is taking out things. He says, I'll take this. I'll take this, I'll take this, I'll take this, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you this, I'll take some of that, I'll give you a little bit of that, I'll give you a lot of that. He says, I've given you everything that you need. The Lord says, I'm doing great and mighty things because my son died for you to cause you to be righteous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So in order, in verse 4, it says that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. What is he saying here? It's not about condemnation. You know, when you hear, okay, those who live by the sinful nature, you know, will die. Those who live by the Spirit will live. Well, you are a believer. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. You no longer live in the sinful nature. That sinful nature has been done away. You now live in the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You're living by the Spirit. I want you to stop beating yourself up. I want you to stop trying so hard to overcome things and allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to overcome those things. The law points to the weakness. The law points to the sin, but the Spirit points to Jesus, the righteousness of God. And he points that you have been forgiven. You are more than a conqueror. That Jesus is telling us, I've empowered you under my grace. I've given you grace. You're no longer under the law. You're in grace right now. Can you say amen? When I don't think about eating cheesecake or not eating cheesecake, then I don't want cheesecake. But the more I think about I shouldn't eat cheesecake, then I want to eat cheesecake. What I need to do is start changing the way I think. Stop looking and focusing on those things that snag you up and start looking at the things of God and start remembering, man, God, you have done so much in my life. God, you brought me from here and now I'm here and I'm heading here. God, you're such a good God. God, I remember when the doctor said I was going to die, but God, you brought me out of that. You brought me out of death. You delivered me from the sting of death. I'm so glad that I'm not cursed, but I'm blessed. I'm so glad, I'm so blessed that I got to give it away. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I am not a curse, but I'm a blessing, and those that get around me get blessed because I'm a blessing. God has blessed me to be a blessing. Can you say amen? You know, I'm remembering. Remember when Peter and John were going into the temple to pray, and there was this guy who was begging for money. And you know, at the temple, if the guy knew what was inside, he wouldn't be sitting outside asking for something that he really didn't need. He needed a healing, but Peter and John understood it wasn't money he needed. He needed a spirit. He needed a breakthrough. He needed healing. He needed Jesus, the healer. That's what he needed. Sometimes we're giving people stuff that they don't really need. They need Jesus. Can you say amen? Going on. Hallelujah. Verse 6, it says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I want some peace because I'm operating in the Spirit of the Spirit. I'm operating in peace. I made a choice. No, devil, you're not going to tell me about all my faults and all my mistakes and what I did in my past. That has been buried and gone. Stop looking at your past. Stop thinking about your past. Stop allowing your past to overcome you, overtake you. Thank you, Lord. Going on. Says the sinful mind is hostile to God. That's not us. He's not talking about us in this room or those who are listening. If you receive Jesus, your mind isn't like that. It's the non-believer. Their mind is hostile to God because they're saying, oh, really? You're a Christian? And really your God can do these things? Oh, really? He's a healer? Oh, really? He can bring you out of stuff? That's hostile to God because they don't believe. They don't understand the Spirit. Spiritual things, because it's only by the Spirit they can be discerned. Can you, anybody, say amen? So the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But you and I belong to Jesus because we have the Spirit of Christ inside us. You know what? You devil, you're not going to beat me up anymore. You're not going to bring condemnation. Even when I make mistakes, even when I fall short, I am not going to be condemned because I know the Spirit is working things out on my behalf, that he's showing me. The Holy Spirit is saying, there's Jesus. Remember what Jesus said. Remember what he'll do. Remember what he has done. Remember, the Holy Spirit said, remember what Jesus said, not what the devil is saying. Hallelujah. In verse 10, it says, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. I'm going to read this again. It's good. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. So if you need healing, you need to say, Holy Spirit, I know that you raised Christ from the dead. You're inside my body, and you're bringing health and healing and strength and power. You're showing the world that my body is being healed right before their eyes because the Spirit of the Lord is in me. I am no longer in the sinful nature. I'm in the Spirit nature. I'm in the nature of Christ because the Spirit lives in me. Can you say amen? My past will no longer haunt me. I'm letting go of my past. My past has no authority over me. My past has no control over me because it's dead and gone. When I received Christ, when I rededicated my life to Jesus, that all passed away. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am no longer with a sinful mind. I've got the Spirit of the Lord in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul. He's working with my soul. Can you say amen? Moving on. Hallelujah. In verse 14, it says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, that's including the women, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Remember what I was saying, I think, last week. The Holy Spirit isn't the only spirit inside us. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit is inside, and we're joined together. We're in a partnership, and the Holy Spirit is working with us, working through us. And the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit have his way in our lives. Can you say amen? You need a breakthrough? Say, Holy Spirit, help me. I need a breakthrough, and I'm expecting to see the evidence. I know that you're having a powerful class on Wednesday. I cannot say enough about coming to Wednesday night. We are having an outpouring of the Spirit in our classes. The lights are coming on. In my class, I had a joint class with Pastor Jans, and I took up one of her teachings about the Holy Spirit. And the first thing we did, you know what we did? We prayed, Holy Spirit, show us. And the Holy Spirit showed us. I thank God for man who teaches, but I want to be taught by the Holy Spirit. I like what Pastor Kay comes up here and says, what she says up here. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through her. I'm being taught by the Holy Spirit through her. Can you say amen? If you want to be a part this Wednesday, I'm teaching on the flags and the colors, and the young people can come, and we're going to put something together, and we're going to have a fun time for an hour. Come and be a part of that. Come, and with Pastor Kay, she's teaching on the book of John. She's talking about the gospel. If you don't understand the scripture, come to her class. She's going to help you understand. Can you say amen? So going on. So we didn't receive the spirit of fear. In verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So when somebody says, I'm sorry, you're not a Christian, I'm sorry, you don't look blonde hair, blue eyes. You got makeup that you have to scrape off. Nothing wrong with makeup. But see, I don't have to look like another type of Christian to be a Christian. You and I are an original. When we said, Jesus, come into my heart, he came into my heart. And he stayed in my heart, and his spirit lives in me, and I've been sealed with a seal of approval because the Holy Spirit's in me, so I don't have to prove anything. I can allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus in and through my life, in your life. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Hello, I'm an heir. You're an heir. You're settling. I've been settling for second best. Well, if I just get this far, I'm going to be okay. That isn't God's best. You are the joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You are co-heirs with Jesus. Co-heirs mean you share in the inheritance. You share in the authority. You share in the power. Is anybody sharing with what you are? You are the righteousness of God. You are a child of God. You are the sons of God. You are in a place and a position God has put you in there just because you believe in the Son of God, that you asked Jesus into your heart, that brought you into that place. And nobody can say it is not yours, because God says, yes, it is. I have given you that position. Now take it and walk in it and experience it. Stop listening to what other people are saying and listen to the voice of the Lord and obey his voice. Can you say amen? So now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. He went to the cross. Ow. Ow, that's my difference. Those are listening on the CD. Ouch. He went to the cross and he suffered for you and I. We don't suffer. He took the judgment of our sins upon him. Our sins have no authority over us. We are not. We are not. You know that I'm a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner and you have been saved by grace, but you're no longer a sinner. You are the righteousness of God. If you will get that, you will see the evidence of the power and the demonstration of God's word in your life. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Is that good stuff? Hallelujah. I'm believing for you, brother. He has a desire to start a soup kitchen. And if you've ever been on Facebook, you see the food he cooks. I want to go to your soup kitchen. But he has, again, and Fabian says amen to that. But you know what? He has a desire. He has a talent to cook. And he wants to use his gift and this talent to bless those who can't afford to buy a meal, those who can't afford food or have somebody prepare for him. He has a desire. I am in agreement with you, brother, before the end of this year, God is going to make a way for you to begin the process, I thank you for the evidence of us believing for this kitchen. I don't even want to call it a soup kitchen. You know what? We call it stuff because of the misfortune. You know, it's the hand-me-downs. No, I believe God is going to provide good food that you're going to prepare a meal where they have roast beef. Hallelujah. And I believe those who can't afford it say, I'm coming there. I'm going to buy me a meal. I'm going to pay for the meal, and I'm going to treat somebody. See, God's best, even for those who are the least, he says they will be the first. The last shall be the first. Come on, why do we settle? Well, let's just pass out a bunch of soup. No, let's get the best. God's best. Let's give out the best. We deserve the best because we are the righteousness of God. Can you say amen? So are you expecting with me to see the evidence of him opening this kitchen? I'm not calling it a soup kitchen anymore. Jeffrey's kitchen. JJ's kitchen. Jay-Z's kitchen. We'll come up with some names later. Hallelujah. So I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Thank you, Lord. We know people out there that need to be set free. They're going to be set free when we operate in freedom and liberty. Just shift down. We're almost done. In verse 26, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. He says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 35, it says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither here nor depth or height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Write this down. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I wonder just real quick, the definition of condemnation is to cause someone to suffer or live in difficulty or unpleasant conditions, to pronounce guilty. But we have been set free of that. Can you say amen? In closing, turn to Hebrews 3 real quick. The Lord showed me something in closing. He finished what he began. I'm so glad that we are the righteousness of God. Hebrews 3 in verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and the high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage in the hope of which we boast. What is he saying here? Moses served a purpose. The law served a purpose. But Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than the law. And he's saying, be of courage. Just keep on keeping on. Just allow the Spirit of God to move in your life and to show you that he has caused you to be the righteousness of God, to be victorious in all things, that in every situation, every circumstance that you come up against, you have the victory because the Spirit of God is in you, in you, in you, in you, and me. Can anybody say amen? Stand to your feet today and say, I am the righteousness of God. Say, I don't live under the law, but under grace. Say, I've been set free of the law. I am free indeed because of the Holy Spirit that is in me. See, I'm overcoming. I'm more than a conqueror. I am victorious. I want you to stop saying I'm going to be. I want you to say I am. I am. With your eyes closed and heads bowed this morning. And then we'll get out of here. Thank you, Lord. Anybody get anything out of this, Ricky? You want to say something? Hold on real quick. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn on the cordless if you would. And then we'll close in prayer.
This is something that goes with your message today. The title of the message is Let Go of Your Past. And this morning I was seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, I want something new today. You know, a new thing. And a while ago I was trying to flip through my notebook to find a blank page to write notes on. And I found what I wrote down August of 12th. Of 2012, and I wrote on there, at 4:30 a.m. Saturday morning, I was visited by an angel of God. I forgot this was in this notebook. He just stood before me saying, not saying or doing anything. After a few moments, he left. And I began seeking the Lord about what it was all about in a word. And the Lord spoke to me by His Spirit, said, there's going to be more. Get ready, I say, for today I'm releasing unto you a new thing in my spirit. A new thing. Put aside pre-planned agendas, for they are from things of the past. Today is a new day. A new thing begins. Get ready, for now is the time. Get ready. I am increasing my magnitude among my people so that the world will see who I am and who my people are. Get ready.
Amen. Hallelujah. We receive your word this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. With eyes closed and heads bowed. Before we leave, and anybody listening to the CD, I want you to hear the invitation. This morning, if you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to ask Jesus into your life, if that's you, lift up your hand. Is there anybody? Anybody here today that you want to rededicate your life to the Lord? Lift up your hand. Is anybody? Hallelujah. Would you just pray with me this morning for those that are listening to the CD? Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. I declare and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Son, that He walked on this earth, that He died on the cross, and that He was buried in a tomb. But He rose from the grave, and He lives today at the right hand of the Father. And today, Jesus, I ask you to also live in my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior forever. And I thank you, Jesus, that I am going to heaven and nothing is going to keep me from going to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give God a big clap offering. I believe somebody got saved just by listening to the CD today. Are you in agreement with me? Lift up your hands this morning. The Lord knows all your needs. He knows those that you're believing for a breakthrough or healing for. We are making a declaration right now for those that have been affected by the earthquake. That the Spirit of the Lord is moving in Nepal and all the surrounding countries. Those air pockets that protected people under the rubble was caused by the Lord. And Lord, right now, I thank you that there's healing taking place in that country. I thank you that the financial need is being taken care of. I thank you that water is sprouting up. like wells of water are just bursting up like, oh, shadada, kandada, shadada, kandada. I thank you that the missionaries are able to get to the places they need to get to. I thank you, God, right now there's provision taking place because the word of the Lord says, I'm providing, I'm supplying, I'm touching, I'm healing. So right now, Lord, I thank you that we don't operate in fear. We don't operate in worry. We trust your word right now that is accomplishing what it's doing. I thank you planes are on the way. I thank you big corporations are sending food and materials and housing. I thank you, God, just like in the Old Testament, they had to say, oh, there's too much given. Stop the giving. We got too much. I thank you, God, that people are bringing in the supplies from all over the world where there's going to be overflow in Jesus' name. And because you came in agreement with me in this prayer, the Lord says, I'm going to take care of your needs. He says, you put other people before yourself. And the Lord says, since you've done that, I'm going to take care of what you need. See, that's how it works. It's not hard. I don't have to focus on everything I need. I just got to focus on the Lord. I got to allow the Holy Spirit to be the captain of this vessel. I lift up your children, your grandchildren, your co-workers, your friends, your family members. Right now, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, that the angels have been sent out to minister to them. I thank you salvation isn't hard, but the Lord's Spirit is moving on the land, His Holy Spirit. Today I release joy in this place. I release peace in this place. I release courage in this place. And I especially release freedom and liberation right now because of the Spirit of the Lord. So if you will just come in agreement with me in a minute, we're going to say amen. So be it. The minute you say that, there's going to be an activation in those words that were spoken, those words that were prayed, those words that touched your ears, touched your heart. So are you ready to say amen? One, two, three. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed.